Good afternoon from the KWAT newsroom. I'm Mike Tanner. While legislators have been working on an industrial hemp bill during the interim, South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem is holding firm in her opposition to one. She says she has not heard from any major farm group supporting industrial hemp.
This is what they need to know about hemp, is that I haven't had a single farm organization, not Farm Bureau, corn growers, soybeans, come to me and say, you gotta start a hemp program to help our farmers cash flow.
Governor Noem says the only profit being made in hemp now is in CBD oil.
Now, if farmers are gonna make more money off of growing hemp, they're gonna have to raise it for CBD oil. So that's the conversation we should be having. It's not just industrial hemp, because farmers are still going to raise corn and soybeans because they'll make more money off of that than they will industrial hemp. But if we want our farmers to make the kind of money that people were talking about last year, that's CBD oil. And so to be honest, that's the conversation the state should be having.
Noem says that type of hemp would not be a widespread cash crop.
And that kind of hemp gets grown in greenhouses. I don't know too many of our farmers that are interested in putting up greenhouses and growing that kind of hemp. So I will always take a look at a program as long as we do it smart and we're prepared for the consequences. And right now, we can't tell the difference between industrial hemp and marijuana.
The Industrial Hemp Committee met earlier this month but has not scheduled a meeting through late next month. Well, this is the time of year when law enforcement agencies see a jump in the number of deer vehicle crashes they respond to. And Cottington County Sheriff Brad Howell says this year has been no different.
They're ramping up, just like you mentioned, with the harvest, with fall. Dusk and dawn are our busiest hours for deer accidents. About hour each way of dusk and dawn, so a couple hours in the morning, a couple hours in the evening are the most active times that we see for the calls coming in for the deputies. Those numbers do skyrocket quite a bit this time of the year. We can have upwards of 2 to 5 a day that the deputies will respond to. That's not including the highway patrol responding to some, but those numbers do ramp up quite a bit. So make sure you're slowing down some of the things dusted on as the sun is setting and or rising. So sometimes you can get that sun blindness. Make sure you slow down, be cautious, try to be aware of the deer moving at those times.
We asked the sheriff, if you hit a deer with your vehicle, what, if anything, should you do with the animal?
Law enforcement gets a lot of calls on those. There's a deer still on the road. I'm glad you bring that up, Mike. If you strike a deer and you pull over alongside the road, if you can do so safely, pull that deer off the road so the next motorist behind you doesn't have an opportunity to strike that. We have responded to numerous of those type of calls as well, where someone's pulled over to hit a deer. Well, driver B comes along and hits that same deer that's on the road. Then they have some undercarriage damage. So if you have the opportunity, go ahead and pull that deer off, or at least, you know, make sure you're off the road and make sure you're safe while doing so. Some roads are a little busier, but if you have an opportunity, go ahead and pull that deer off.
Howell says if you hit a deer, you should also contact law enforcement to report it. An officer will give you a red tag that you'll need to have with you when you take your vehicle to an auto body shop for repairs. That red tag is proof that the accident was reported to law enforcement. Northern Plains cattle producers have been facing challenges this year with the wet conditions. SDSU Extension beef specialist Julie Walker says they're dealing with muddy feedlots, continuously wet pastures, and difficulties trying to wean calves.
Some of them don't have a place to wean their calves because they want to wean them and background them before they sell them. Or their pens, if they're going to retain ownership for a while, their pens aren't ready for the cattle. The standing joke is, which pasture doesn't have standing water in it, so can I use to graze? It's not so much that they were able to use their grazing system. It's more finding a pasture that has enough grass and not standing water in it to allow good plant growth.
Walker says the wet weather and late crops have also created some feeding challenges for producers.
Getting the feed in a timely fashion so that they will be able to utilize that for the feed or for their cattle. I have a lot of calls this year about the corn silage is getting too dry and how are we going to get a good crop up and how am I going to avoid the molds and those things, because those molds will play a role on the animal health as we try and feed that.
Walker says planning for available feed to get through the upcoming winter is recommended, and having hay tested for feed quality is advisable.
If they can really hay test right now and know what feeds they have, I think cost of feed ingredients are going to go pretty high this winter. And so finding what they need potentially to find supplement their diets this fall to meet or winter to meet their cows' nutrient needs or the calves' nutrient needs may be pretty cost effective just due to the fact that they'll be able to get what they want.
Walker says it's been a difficult year for getting hay put up that is not too high in moisture. Sioux Falls police have released more details in a weekend homicide near 10th Street and Main Avenue across from Club David in Sioux Falls. Police spokesman Sam Clemens says the victim, Benjamin Donahue III, had been shot twice in the head.
There was some words that were exchanged. We're not exactly sure what precisely was said, but we know that they were talking briefly. The suspect ended up pulled out a gun and shot the victim in the head. All indications were there was two shots to the victim's head. The victim was transported to the hospital and later pronounced dead. After the shooting, the suspect gets into a vehicle, what we believe is a Ford Explorer, and then leaves.
He says Donahue and the suspect, 36-year-old Max Bolden, had a history with each other and did not get along. Bolden is charged with first and second degree murder and possession of a firearm by a felon. A warrant was issued for his arrest with a $1 million bond attached to it. A South Dakota judge has ruled that dismemberment evidence can be used in the trial of a man accused of killing his girlfriend and dumping her remains in a river in Michigan's Upper Peninsula. The attorney for 45-year-old Robert Falkenberg argued the evidence might prejudice a jury against his client, who's pleaded not guilty to killing Tamara LaFromboy last March. The nude torso of the 46-year-old Yankton woman was found in the Little River in Michigan's Menominee Township near Falkenberg's family farm weeks later. Her head and hands had been removed and are still missing. Defense attorney Clint Sargent argued that the dismemberment was performed days after the murder and did not serve to show intent. Judge Cheryl Gehring denied the motion on Monday. The state of South Dakota is asking a court to reject an inmate's objection to the lethal drug scheduled for use in his execution. Charles Rhines is scheduled to die next week for the 1992 stabbing of a donut shop worker. Rhines moved last week to block the execution by arguing that pentobarbital, commonly used to euthanize animals, does not act quickly enough. The state argued in its filing Monday that Ryan's argument is based on pentobarbital's performance in a low-dosage setting and that it works quickly enough when given in high doses. The drug has been used in recent executions in Georgia, Missouri, and Texas. An exact date for Ryan's execution has not been announced. Sobriety checkpoints are planned in 18 South Dakota counties in November. Checkpoints are done monthly in different counties as a way to discourage drivers from drinking and then driving. The Highway Patrol conducts those checkpoints with the help of local law enforcement. November checkpoints are planned for the counties of Aurora, Beadle, Brookings, Brown, Butte, Coddington, Davison, Day, Hughes, Lake, Lincoln, Lyman, Meade, Minnehaha, Pennington, Stanley, Walworth, and Yankton. News is available anytime on our homepage. Find us online at gowatertown.net. From the KWAT Newsroom, I'm Mike Tanner.